Hallelujah. You know, this is the hour where we read a lot about satellites, and I was really excited to read something that was in the Jerusalem report that just happened in Israel. They put up what they called the OFEC satellite this last summer. I think it was June. And it's like a pair of eyes in the sky that can watch everything that's happening there in the Middle East. And OFEC means the horizon. But this was, I want to read it just a little bit of this article, but to me it was pretty exciting. It says, look up at the night sky, and although you cannot see it, amid the stars is a small satellite circling the earth every 90 minutes, peering down through clouds and darkness, and it's called OFEC 9. It's this sophisticated eye in the sky was built and launched by Israel last June 22nd at a cost of $300 million. OFEC 9 is Israel's sixth spy satellite, and it sends back highly detailed photographs. OFEC 9 tracks what Israel's enemies are scheming, night or day, fair weather or bad weather. It is concrete evidence that, improbably, Israel has become one of a handful of nations, and by far the smallest of them, who lead in both military and civilian technology. Let me jump down here. Here's what it says about their missile program. With OFEC 9, Israel now has 10 of these satellites working jointly together in the sky. One of them completes an orbit every 90 minutes. Then the second one comes along, then the third, and so on. At a given moment, there is not one place which interests Israel in the Middle East that is not being shot or photographed. In fact, a country will not be able to conduct any secret operations in the Middle East without the area being covered by one of our satellites. Iran won't be able to transfer different materials without us noticing what's going on. Here, listen to this. Israel's a small country, but there are seven independent countries in space, and in terms of quality and technology, only the United States comes before Israel. OFEC satellites, it can see objects as small as 2 feet wide. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And they got that going on 24 hours a day. Anyway, I won't read any more of that. But when I read that, I had a scripture that began to spin in my heart. And I want you to turn with me back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15, yeah. I thought of the scripture, and then I turned back and I read it in verse 9 of the Second Chronicles chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 9. You talk about a satellite in the sky that's observing what's going on. Think of this statement, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, I've quoted that verse so many times, but I realize that I never quote the bottom part of it. Listen to what it says here. I mean, that's a great promise. If we've got a right relationship with the Lord, his eyes, like a satellite, are going all the time on our behalf, protect us from our enemies, and figure ways to bless us. That's a beauty. If our heart's right with him, what a promise. But notice what it said in the last statement of this verse. Herein thou hast done foolishly. therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Well, the person that's being spoken to here was the king of Judah. His name was Asa, and he wasn't blessed like he could have been blessed. But I want you to pick up what happened to him, and we can't afford to let this thing happen in our lives. Go back to verse 1, and I want to look at this chapter. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, that's the king of the 10 northern tribes, came against Judah. That's the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And they built up Ramah to the intent that they might let none go out or come in. And they'd mess up, you know, the reign of Asa, king of Judah. And they set out to do that. So rather than trust God and his eyes in the sky to watch over and help Israel, he should have known better, but look what he did. He took the silver and gold out of the treasure house of the Lord, and he uses this money to contact Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and he said to the king of Syria in Damascus, there was a league between me and thee and between our fathers, and I'm sending you silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. In other words, rather than turn to the Lord, he turns to the king of Syria and asks him, you go and take care of my enemies that are wanting to block commerce coming into Judah in the south. Well, in this case, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, hearkened unto King Asa. And he sent captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. That's the 10 northern tribes. And, you know, he did a lot of damage. Places are listed here that he attacked. And it came to pass when Baasha heard that, you know, he was losing the war, then he ceased to build Ramah. And, of course, that pleased Asa. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah. And they used this material at Geba and Mizpah. Okay, God was displeased with this king because he looked to Syria and didn't look to God. God's eyes are in the sky wanting to protect his people all the time. He gets offended if you want to go to somebody else. It says in Psalm 121, we're to lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who maketh heaven and earth. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. His satellite's going too, 24 hours around the clock. And here's what this prophet says to Asa. Listen to the words. The prophet's name was Hanani. He came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, there you're not going to have the victory you could have had against the Syrians. And this prophet says to Asa, you remember the Ethiopians and Lubans, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you did rely on the Lord. So at one time he relied on the Lord. He had a relationship with the Lord at one time. And God gave him victory against these nations and delivered Judah. At that time, the eyes of the Lord would run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And so this prophet is telling Asa, God was good to you. He blessed you. You know, you should have turned to him and not turned to the king of Syria. You've done foolishly. Therefore, your life's going to be troubled from here on out. You're going to have wars. Well, what did Asa do? Rather than admit his mistake, repent, he became angry with the prophet. He put him in prison, and he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa went ahead and oppressed some of the people at the same time. For some reason, he lost his faith. and he's acting foolishly. And God says he's acting foolishly. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, though they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And look what he did then. Rather than humble himself, he carried on with his rebellion. Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, he was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. And yet in his disease, he refused to come to the Lord for healing. He could have been healed. So, but he went to the physicians. And the Bible says, Asa slept with his fathers and he died in the 140th year of his reign. What a sad story of a man that, I've gone back, I'm not going to do it tonight, but read about the tremendous victory that God had given him. He knew God was real. So when you look at the 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, there's more there than just that positive word for those whose hearts are right with him, what he'll do. There's a warning not to be foolish. We can't be like Asa, follow his pattern. There's a couple of verses I want to share with you. One of them is in Psalms 34, 15. This is something that when I heard about Pastor Dale's daughter, because I married her and the young man who's a attorney now, I went right away and turned it to the Lord right away. Amen. I asked him to move. Verse 15 of chapter 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. I mean, Israel's going to need more than OFEC satellite. They're going to need the eyes of the Lord to watch over them. And I hope they're, and I know the people in that country are praying that way. You can't just rest in your own righteousness, so to speak. But God says he's there ready to help the righteous, and his ears are open unto our cry. And I, what a pity it would be if, you know, here having called on God so much of my life, then here in the end, I'd look to other sources and not look to God. I mean, that can happen. And Asa was a man that had been blessed greatly. But here's a thought that I wanted to bring out. When you talk about the eyes of the Lord being like a satellite looking out for us, there's two things that are mentioned. One, God watches over us that we don't have to worry about our enemies. And that's Israel's primary concern. But also, let me read that word for word in 2 Chronicles 16, 9, so I get it right. Now the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. So not only does he defend our enemies, but he's looking for ways to bless us. That's what he wants to do. And I mean, that just stood out to me as I read this article concerning his desire to bless us. Turn with me to in the Psalms to a text. I hope I've got it written down here. Psalm 75. This is really important that we look at this together. Psalm 75. Hallelujah. He says in verse 1, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. He goes on in verse 4. He talks about his conversation concerning the fools or the foolish, like King Asa. He says, don't deal foolishly or don't think foolishly. Don't lift up your own horn. You can't make it without me. Don't speak with a stiff neck. And here's where blessings will flow forth. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. I mean, he puts down one, and he setteth up another. So I've always used that scripture, you know, especially when we're praying for people going into the new year, that, you know, promotion comes from God. And we want to see people walk out of the service with an anointing on their life and their families. And they have asked God to be their eyes in the sky, not only to defend them, but to bless them, to open doors of blessing. And I know that decree service is going to be so important, because it's God's way. Promotion cometh from the north, up, not from the east or the west or the south. It comes from the north. God is good. He sets up one, and he can bring somebody down, just like he did Asa. I'm really looking forward to that time that we can stand and, you know, we seek God, and he gives us, here's what I want to do, especially for this family, for this couple. And we don't make it up, and he brings to pass then. He says in Isaiah 45, you know, I'm to ask him of things to come concerning, you know, what he would have for George and Archie or whoever. And not always, but many times, God will give me a clear impression, a scriptural flip in my mind, or a thought. Could be healing, could be a financial blessing, could be a restoration of a daughter or son. And if God wants to do it, somebody's got to speak it. You got to decree a thing, and it'll be established unto you, and the light will shine on thy pathway. I don't think there's been a principle that was so tremendously used in the building of Faith Bible Chapel as that truth, just that simple truth of trusting God and then speaking. And through that, we've seen tremendous doors open. You know, there's no reason that we shouldn't expect that we could be blessed. But there are some conditions. He says, those whose hearts are perfect towards him. That's why I think there's been an emphasis to the church. I know the book that I wrote and this other book that we've edited on love, that there are 15 great attributes of love listed in 1 Corinthians 13. And I mean, to have a perfect heart, you've got to walk in love. And if we're doing that, I mean, we have got a satellite, the eyes of the Lord, 24 hours a day. Israel's got it covered every minute. After one satellite is done, they've got nine of them. They just keep coming. And they can spot things on the ground only 2 feet wide. So you know they're going to be prepared for anything that Iran wants to do. Well, God would take care of our enemies the same way. But he wants to bless. And that's where I think this Psalm 75 is so important. He wants to promote. But he couldn't do that for Asa. What caused him to turn back? We don't know. But he had experienced tremendous victories. If you go back 3 or 4 chapters, you wonder, how could somebody that had experienced that kind of blessing turn back like he did? You know, sometimes people, I've had it happen where they think, well, they didn't get the break in life because their boss on the job wasn't honest, or if it's within a church, it's the pastor's fault or the pastor's wife that blocked me going ahead. You can't swallow that at all. There's no merit to that whatsoever. You can't get away with that with God. If our hearts are right with him, he says what he'll do. I think of Adam, you know, the Adamic nature. You know, well, Eve made me do it. She gave me the food. It's her fault. It's not my fault. It's Eve's fault. Well, God wouldn't accept that. I have no excuse if things don't open right for me. I have no excuse. I'm the only one that can stand in the way. The enemy's not big enough. God has got it covered.
That's right.
He knows what he's doing 24 hours a day. I was so encouraged when I read this article, and it really made me want to pray for Israel. I hope they just don't trust in the OFEC 9, but more and more of them will say, you got to trust the eyes in the sky, the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Now listen to this. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. He shall not sleep. So you talk about watching over our situation. God will take charge of our enemies. God will open doors for us. He'll bring promotion. And I think we ought to have a new sense of faith as we pray for one another. And those that will be here will actually speak over people's lives and expect to see things happen. And they will happen. Isn't it true that we've seen that happen just tremendously, especially in the early years of the charismatic movement, wasn't it? Hallelujah. So when I heard about Jamie's coming down for that consultation on the 5th of January and surgery on the 6th, the thing to do right away is to look to the Lord, not look to Syria. Not just look to the physicians, but look to God. The eyes of the Lord. Think about that. The eyes of the Lord right now are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for somebody whose heart is right with him, that he can take care of all their enemies, and he can open up doors of blessing. Just let's thank God for that. That's a great promise. Lord, I pray you open our hearts to this God. Help us to see your desire is to bless us, God. Help us to be not like Adam and not like Asa, but admit, God, if we sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Lord, you can help us. We sincerely pray for Israel and for their leaders that they'll look to you, God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not just their tremendous military strength and the genius minds that they have, God, but they'll look to you. God, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's basically what I wanted to share, and I just thought we tonight would maybe just strengthen ourselves as we sing a chorus or two, and maybe come forward if you could, and let's say, we not only want to grasp this in our own hearts, but I need people to stand with me that we can speak this thing out over people's lives. And nothing's going to happen unless it's spoken. So let's stand and let Jeff lead us in a chorus. And you want to thank God for his eyes in the sky over your family? I think it'd be good to come up and tell him. Hallelujah.